What's up, everybody? It's time for another Power Hour. I hope you guys had a great week. Hope you're having a real good weekend. Hoping the Power Hour is going to make it even better for you. Thanks for joining us at NitroBeer.com. Also, thank you for downloading this on iTunes. Oh, wait, you didn't know we're on iTunes now. Well, it was in the show notes last week, but I can actually tell it to you this week because it's up, it's good to go, it's taking ratings, all that good stuff. Just search for NitroBeard on iTunes. Power Hour should pop right up. But, you know, my name's Wes Gardner. If I didn't already say that, I don't think I did. But I'm your host, of course, for the Power Hour. We got a big show for you tonight. And I'm really looking forward to getting started. I mean, we got a ton of questions. We got Royal Rumble results. We got all sorts of shenanigans going on. We even got some MMO news. So let's get it started. Let's just jump right into it. Let's get right into the MMO news. Alright, MMO news this week. We got Final Fantasy XIV finally taking beta signups for A Realm Reborn, which is going to be pretty cool, but if you just go search on Google Final Fantasy XIV, it'll actually be the first page that pops up, I think. They're really pushing it pretty hard. I know if you have a PS3 version of Final Fantasy XIII, it comes with a preference code in there, and if you put that code, that Square Enix code, into the beta registration, I guess you get VIP access to it, so you're one of the first batches that gets invited, which is a pretty cool gesture. The only problem with that is you have to buy Final Fantasy XIII, which is a dreadful game. But yeah, beta signups looking good. Hopefully I'll be able to get in. I don't know what the non-disclosure agreement is going to be in that beta, but if I'm allowed to talk about it, you know for a fact I'll be talking about it. I'll be posting on NitroBeard.com, posting screenshots, pictures, editorial stuff. But, you know, can't break the NDAs. If I'm part of an NDA, I cannot. I could tell you I'm in, but I can't tell you anything about it. But we'll see. I'll at least let you know one way or another. So you can definitely keep it locked on here. But yeah, they're taking beta signups. Go sign up. It's supposed to be really good. Let's see. Wizardry. Online, Wizardry has a new MMO. If you don't know what Wizardry is, it's an old-school PC kind of adaption of a tabletop dungeon crawler. It's really, really good. If you've heard of Legend of Grimrock, or if you've seen that, kind of, that is Wizardry. That you have a class, they each have specific spells they can use, or specific, like, the rogue can unlock a door, or set traps, or things like that, and you kind of make your way through this dungeon to solve puzzles. But now Wizardry Online has launched, and it's kind of a fuck up. We're gonna get to this kind of in the question segment because someone asked a question about how badly they fucked up. They fucked up pretty bad. But Wizardry MMO, it's very much a pay to win game. I think there's some XP potions to where you get 25% additional XP for an hour, and they charge like a dollar or two for that. So yeah, you know what I mean. Just kind of a money sink more than anything. Hell, it was even pulled from Steam. They had some false features listed up there, and Steam doesn't take too kindly to that anymore after the whole War Z thing. If you don't know about the War Z thing, it's kind of like a DayZ ripoff. But War Z made all these promises on the store page. People bought it. They got to the game, and the game was nothing like what it said on the page. Hell, half the screenshots weren't even of the game. It was just of mock-up stuff. It was a bad situation all around. But yeah, Wizardry MMO is out. I personally wouldn't even bother. I mean, you have to pay money to play it. Plus, you have to... it's all pay-to-win stuff. Yeah, it's not very good. Just go get Legend of Grimrock. Hell, get it on Steam. Get Legend of Grimrock on Steam, and that way you can download stuff with Steam Greenlight. Or not Steam Greenlight, the Steam Workshop. you can do it that way. But you can also go to GOG.com. There's Legend of Grimrock's everywhere. Just go get it. It should be on sale, too, somewhere. So go get it, and that should be the only Wizardry game you would ever need. Legend of Grimrock is fantastic. It actually made Mark Bradshaw's Game of the Year list last year, and it was almost a runner, or it was almost an honorable mention on mine. I just didn't delve too far into it, because as much as I love Wizardry, and as much as I love those games, with a baby, it's just not feasible to really get lost in kind of that, you know, that type of experience. But it's a lot of fun if you got some time to kill and you want to really get invested. It's a great game to do so with. And then the last bit of kind of MMO news, not necessarily an MMO, but I'm going to fit it in here because it is the most played online game on the planet. So, you know what? Fuck it. It counts, right? League of Legends, a ton of pro players are getting not only suspended, but there's two pro players, I didn't get the names of them, but two professional League of Legends players got banned for life. They can never professionally, or I guess even casually, play the game ever again. Cannot play it, period. Can't play it. They were making money playing League of Legends that got banned, and the reason why they got banned is they were being assholes. They were being rude online, they were causing all sorts of ruckus, being bad sportsmanship, all that good stuff. But yeah, I guess Riot's really becoming more serious about their zero tolerance policy. You know, they want it to make a good community. They've done the tribunal. They've done all these different things to kind of help out the community. But for some reason, those MOBA games, you know, the Defense of the Ancients or League of Legends, Heroes of New Earth, those games are notorious for having really shitty communities. You know, and it's upsetting because the premise of the game seems really cool. It's kind of the hero structure from Warcraft 3 and taken to a new level. And you have all this cool strategy and, you know, it's almost like a chess game that always moves, you know. So it takes that same strategy of it. And the reason why I'm still interested in them, I'm just really bad at them, because I love StarCraft. And it seems like it's similar to StarCraft and, you know, managing your resources and things like that and trying to get proper loadouts and builds and team compositions and things like that, but it kind of simplifies the micromanagement, the clicking and the, you know, hot bars and things like that. I mean, StarCraft 2, it's a huge learning curve, and, you know, League of Legends and Dota and other games like that are big learning curves too, but it's just a different type of learning. It's kind of like learning a fighting game character. You know, you have your one character, you know what it's good at, you know what it's bad at. What does it team up with other characters? What happens when you go versus another character? You know, you have checks and balances, and that's a staple all the way back to chess, you know, for strategy. But I love the games, but yeah, that community's so bad. But it looks like Riot's taking it serious about making the community better, so who knows? You know, maybe in the next 6 months it might clean itself up. I mean, I highly doubt it, but it's always nice to want things, right? Anyway, that's it for MMO news. Really quick, to the point, concise, bringing it to you. I will say I've been playing more Final Fantasy XI. I've also been playing some more World of Warcraft. And I'm, of course, been playing Path of Exile. Just those are primarily the three main games I've been playing lately. They're kind of easy to drop in, drop out of. That way I can go take care of baby. But yeah, MMO news, that was it. We're going to take a quick break, but after we get back, we'll go right in to the wrestling wrap-up. So you guys see the Royal Rumble? First of all, want to apologize if you listen to the podcast before the Royal Rumble. The dirt sheet that I got was correct. Cena did win the Royal Rumble. The Rock did win the belt. So that means we're odds are going to have Rock versus Cena at Royal Rumble. Or not at Royal Rumble, at WrestleMania. and it's going to be a twice-in-a-lifetime matchup. The only thing I can see, with this actually working out is having it be a three-way dance versus Cena, Rock, and CM Punk. That way they get away from the whole, well, we pipe this thing as once-in-a-lifetime, so we can't actually do that match again. That way CM Punk gets his title shot main event at WrestleMania. That way it kind of makes it about the belt again. You know, that's what I talked about last week, is how important is the belt, right? They really need to frame it, how important is any of the titles? And lately, not very important at all. I mean, The Rock won the match with some weird ending. Like, that entire ending didn't need to happen. You know, he went for the people's elbow, then the Shield blacked out the auditorium, powerbombed him while the lights are still off. Lights came back on. CM Punk's laughing in the middle of the deal. Brings him back in, pins him. Then Vince McMahon comes out, talks about, oh, well, now you have to give up your title. Then The Rock says, no, you can't take it from him, I will. Gets up, and then hits a people's elbow out of, the first thing he does is he hits a people's elbow and pins him. There's no prep. There is no rock bottom. There is no actual wrestling. He just, literally walks in the ring, gives him a people's elbow after he kicks him. And that was it. That was a 1-2-3. I mean, it was just blatant disrespect for the belt. It was blatant disrespect for CM Punk because, 434 days down the drain because he lost the belt. He lost the belt like a chump. He just laid there. He was told to lay there and let The Rock win. The Rock won the belt. I'll put this in context. Out of the past 8 years, The Rock has had 3 matches. First one was at Royal Rumble. It was a tag match with him and Cena as a team. Second was at WrestleMania, and this is his 3rd match. And he won the belt against the dude who's had it for 400 some odd days. Despicable. It's terrible. It is terrible. I hate it. I think it's dumb. I think it doesn't make any sense. But the big highlight for me of the Royal Rumble was Chris Jericho coming back. I literally was not expecting that at all, because I know he was on tour with Fozzy, doing some big shows and things like that. He didn't even talk wrestling on his Twitter. I follow him on Twitter. I've, met Chris Jericho once and surprised the shit out of me that he came back. I'm stoked, though, and rumor is that he signed on through WrestleMania, so we're going to see him. I think there's only one or two shows that he can't make because of conflict with Fozzy, but Chris Jericho's back, man, and that's amazing. Chris Jericho's one of those guys that he could just walk out and do jumping jacks and I'd be enthralled. But he was back, yeah, of course, Gold Dust, all that good stuff. That was cool. The Godfather coming out for the 10 seconds he walked out. But then came about Monday Night Raw. And they kind of hyped it up pretty well with the whole Paul Heyman getting fired thing. But then Brock Lesnar returns. See, I knew Lesnar was going to come back. I just didn't know how soon. And Lesnar has signed on for 2 years for WWE. And Lesnar, he actually looks a lot better. You can tell his diverticulitis, he had a surgery for it. You can tell he's a lot healthier than he was whenever he came back the first time. The only thing that upsets me is, since he did the thing to Vince McMahon, you know for a fact Triple H is going to come out and be like, well, Brock Lesnar, I want to fight you again. So then this WrestleMania will end up being, Rock versus Cena 2, and then Triple H versus Brock Lesnar 2. And I'm sorry, I just don't buy either one of them. I mean, what would be great, and what the big fantasy online is right now, is if Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman, CM Punk, and The Shield make a stable. And that would be a nigh-unstoppable stable. Try to get all, Sheamus, Randy Orton, The Rock, John Cena, whoever you want to get, doesn't matter. But with a stable that powerful of bad guys, that's what they need to get a huge push. Because WWE just hates powerful heels. They just hate powerful bad guys, and I don't understand it. Because if you make powerful bad guys, then your good guys that finally triumph over evil seem so much better. I don't know. But no, that's fine. Give Cena the title shot again at WrestleMania, because God knows he deserves it. I don't know. Anyway, I'm glad Brock Lesnar's back. I'm not the biggest Brock Lesnar fan, but God, anything to take it away from Rock being champ, and you know, it just upsets me. All these younger guys, they're just not getting shots because you'd rather give it to the movie star who's done 3 matches in 8 years. You know, and I'm not saying CM Punk has to keep the belt all the time. I think he deserves the belt all the time. But he doesn't need it. He doesn't need it around his waist to be a good guy. I mean, Straight Edge Society was fantastic. I don't know. It's silly. But anyway, yeah, let's see. Oh, yeah, some TNA stuff. Let's just go into some TNA stuff. Yeah, WWE, it is what it is. I'm hoping Brock Lesnar and CM Punk actually have a feud. I think that'd be pretty interesting, and Paul Heyman would have to pick a side. You know what I mean? That'd be pretty cool. But, you know, of course, I would love if Chris Jericho and CM Punk had another rivalry, because I thought they had the best match of the year last year at WrestleMania. So anything to get those two together, that's fine by me. But, yeah, TNA, let's see, Taz betrayed Bully Ray and Brooke Hogan and was part of Aces and Eights. Ooh. Silly. They had the open fight night, so we got to see 2 more people that were part of Aces and Eights, which was David Bischoff, you know, Eric Bischoff's son, and Wes Briscoe, who turned on Kurt Angle in a steel cage. But I will say the best part of that UK show was Bad Influence. It was Chris Daniels and Kazarian. They are getting better and better and better. I wasn't the biggest Kazarian fan, but their work together as a tag team is so hilarious that I can't help but, you know, I can't help but cheer for them. They're the best heels in that company right now. I think they're the highlights of TNA. I mean, of course, besides Rude, Aries, and Samoa Joe. But yeah, Taz turns on Bully Ray. Here's the deal. Taz looks silly in the little coat and his sunglasses and he just looks silly. But not only that, I think this is trying to turn into a thing to where, if it was only for the announcing that Taz was, oh, well, I'm part of Aces and Eights, so I'm going to be partial to every Aces and Eights member, that can work okay. Because then you have a guy that, you know, you have your heel color commentator. But for some reason, I get this inkling that Taz wants to wrestle again. And I don't know how well that's going to go. I mean, I love Taz. His ECW shit with Sabu, some of the coolest stuff I've ever seen in my entire life. Broke Sabu's neck. Doing a release, what was it, a release German suplex? A release Tazplex? Something like that. Into a table in the corner. Dude's neck broke. Crazy. And then Sabu still wrestled with a broken neck. That's another story. That guy's insane. But I have this weird feeling, and I don't think Taz needs to wrestle. One, he's clearly out of shape, but I just don't think he'd be as good as he would be. Who knows, though? He might be training his ass off. He might come back. Might be, you know, the Kata Hajime. He might pull that old Taz mission deal back and wrestle Kurt Angle and do some rad stuff, but who knows? I just think it's silly. Taz is silly. Yeah, that's basically TNA. Once again, it is what it is. I'm just curious as to what AJ Styles is going to do when he comes back. I think AJ's going to come back, and I think he's going to come back as a heel. Which would be interesting, because he's always kind of been a babyface, right? He's always been the guy, the TNA guy. He's been the man. But if he comes back as a bad guy, it would add a really nice dynamic to TNA. And it would... Something needs to happen with Aces and Eights. They need to split up. Something needs to happen. I know they're going to have a pay-per-view later called Joker's Wild that's going to be all focused on Aces and Eights. So hopefully they're going to implode. Because I'm sick and tired of them ruining every match. That's why I don't comment a lot on TNA lately, is because they just come and hit someone in the kneecap. Every single match. It's like there's some weird mugger in Brooklyn or something, and they just go hit people in kneecaps and take their purse and run. That's it. That's all they do. That's all Aces and Eights does. Anyway, watch TNA for, you know, Bobby Roode, Austin Aries, and Samoa Joe, and Chris Daniels and Kazarian. Watch it for them. You know, they're going to make everything all better. But yeah, that's pretty much the wrestling wrap-up. We're going to come back. We're going to do a lot of questions. Some of the questions a little heated. Little controversial. And I'm going to try to stay as politically correct as possible, but you never know what's going to happen here on the Power Hour. We're going to be right back. Welcome back. Time for question and answers. Got a whole bunch of questions. Some of them have to do with some pretty heated topics. But I'm kind of interested to answer these, you know. Let's see. First question from good friend Big Des. I talked about, on the last podcast, I talked about the Deus Ex special. He was on the Deus Ex special. Me and him chatted for hours about Cyberpunk and Blade Runner and all sorts of cool shit. But good guy. And he asks, where are my gloves? They're over on the table next to the ketchup. And you shouldn't leave the ketchup out, because if it's just out and it's warm, it gets nasty. Put it in the fridge. Not your gloves. Don't put the gloves in the fridge. Put the ketchup in the fridge and then get the, but they're over there by the ketchup. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Good buddy Yackle asks a few questions. Do you do the swirl method to make shapes while you poop? You're talking about kind of the soft serve ice cream type of, you know, like moving everything around? No. Not so much. I probably did when I was little. You know, I might one of these days. Who knows? But I'll tell you what, man, a high-protein diet, phew, it's like launching a cannon out of your rectum. Yeah, man, I just need to up my fiber or something. Because if you don't up your fiber and you have a high-protein diet, no, sir, not a fun time. And his other question is John Cena the greatest of all time? No. Twisted Jester asks, how many Hitlers is the WWE? You know, that's a decent barometer for how evil something is Hitler, right? Because Hitler is the most evil thing that's ever existed. But I would say the WWE is four of them. Crunch asks, what came first? I fucked your mother. Great, thank you. Thank you, Crunch. Thank you. Now, here's where we get tricky. Here's where we get a little tricky. Dr. Kara. Amazingly awesome Dr. Kara asks, what are your thoughts on postmodernist queer theory? Postmodernist queer theory. See, and I did a little, I was familiar with the term. I didn't really know to what extent it went to, and I definitely didn't know there was a postmodernist version of it. But basically, from what I'm gathering, queer theory has, some people call it the little brother, little sister of feminism. And it talks about how important sexual structures are to the world around us, like politics or sexual orientation, like whether you're, you know, homosexual, heterosexual, or whether you're, you know, maybe transgendered, and how that affects either perceptions in the real world or, you know, does it reflect upon yourself? Is that the only way you can define yourself? Is I am a heterosexual. I'm a homosexual. I'm a, you know, transsexual. Is that how you define yourself? Or do, you know, is that natural? Is it that a natural thing? Is that a natural instinct that we have to be one with ourselves? Or is that forced on by, you know, advertising and the world around us? And the more interesting thing is, can it switch? Can, as time goes on, can the public consensus change its mind on if this is normal, this isn't normal? And on that, I think absolutely, because look at the civil rights movement. You know, I mean, like I said, this is going to get a little weird. Going to maybe piss a few people off here, but I'm just giving you my, you asked me the question, I'm going to give you my answer. You know, for the longest time, you know, African Americans, black people weren't allowed to drink from the same water fountains. Now you think about it and you're like, oh man, that's fucked up. That's fucked up. But that same sort of stigma, that same sort of, you know, just unnecessary hate is going towards, you know, transgendered people, gays, lesbians, which is unfortunate. It's sad. I've always been human rights. And that's true. I'm talking from the heart right now. I've always been human rights. Civil rights is one thing, but I've always been human rights. I don't think there's any race. I think there's a human race, and that's it. We have to be good to one another. And sure, that's a pie in the sky, oh, gee, golly, willikers type of, you know, Andy Griffith answer, but it's true. You know, and I really do think that everyone deserves proper treatment. Don't get me wrong, if you're an asshole, I don't care if you're gay, if you're straight, if you're transgendered, if you, you know, reflect on yourself as such. If you're an asshole, you're an asshole. I mean, I just don't like jerks, you know. I just don't like I just don't like mean people. I think malicious people are disgusting. And that's where this weird thing comes from I guess I'm kind of talking around what queer theory really is, because to be fair, I am a heterosexual white male. So what do I know about persecution? Nothing. Seriously. I mean, to be fair, I've been called scrawny and pale and all this other stuff, but no, I haven't been really persecuted. You know what I mean? So I cannot speak from experience. I don't know what it's like to be transgendered. I don't know what it's like growing up to be homosexual. I don't know. And I can't say that I do, and this is the way it should be, and all that, you know. I'm not going to preach to anybody here. But what I'm saying is, there's a weird, and this is getting to your question, I promise, there's this weird crux of, the queer theory is about defying, or not necessarily defying, but trying to figure out where sexual definition is in the world. You know, politics, or why do guys get paid more? If the guy was gay, would he get paid less? You know, there's this weird kind of tightrope that you have to walk on, but it's a, I don't know, it seems like you're using something, you know, it basically desexualizes stuff, right? It takes sex out of the equation. It takes what your sexual preferences is. It takes out whether you're a guy or a girl or transgendered, homosexual, heterosexual, doesn't matter. It's desexualizing an identity, but the issue itself is about sexual identity, right? So you have this weird juxtaposition about, well, you can't really talk about it without it being a thing. So does it really exist? I think, therefore, I am type of stuff, right? And it seems like it's an interesting, queer theory is an interesting topic. I don't know how functional it is in today's society, but apparently, I've been doing more reading, apparently that is what postmodernism queer theory is. It kind of recognizes that, okay, this is basically just a conversation between people that really doesn't go anywhere. But how can we make it viable in today's actual society? And that's interesting. You know, if it can have a real-life impact, if the things that you come up with can be, you know, presented, you know, to the Supreme Court for an equal rights hearing, if it can be, is it functional? I'm all about, you know, just kind of pie in the sky thinking about, you know, thinking bigger than what I really am. You know what I mean? I like doing that. I like the sort of intellectual stimulation type conversations. But at a certain point, it becomes benign. It becomes not a waste of time, because I think the whole reason why we're here is to reproduce and to communicate with other human beings and learn how to be better human beings to one another. But at a certain point, you have to kind of cut your losses. You know, and I say this as a guy just talking to himself on a radio podcast right now. So I see the irony in it, but it's a weird, I don't know. Like I said, I can't really go too deep into it because I just don't know. I just don't know. I mean, I know it goes deeper than the AIDS deal. I know it goes deeper than just a gay culture or bisexual culture or metrosexual culture. I know it goes deeper than that. And I know it literally talks about, are those cultures any different from any other culture, or are we just doing that to keep everyone separated? And, you know, I'll put it this way. I do not think there should be, in a bookstore, I don't think there should be a gay section. I don't think there should be an African-American section. I don't think that, because that's segregation. To me, that's segregation, and I know I'm silly in saying that, but, you know, and I'm not going to be that guy, well, why don't we have a White History Month? Like some dumbass. But I just think whenever you're fully, you're compartmentalizing people, even through a bookstore, and it's unhealthy. Right? So I just need to research the idea more. It's interesting. It's really interesting. But I just don't know where my opinion would come into play, because I feel like this is not my ballgame. This is not my, you know, what would a straight heterosexual male that very much is a quote-unquote guy, as it were, as defined by social structures, what would I have to say about this? And then at the end of the day, who the fuck would care? But hey, it's a great question. I'm glad you sent it in. I'm all about kind of going off the deep end a little bit and really, really getting down and dirty and stuff like this is great. Thank you so much, Kara. I probably didn't answer your question, but hey, send me another one. I'll be more than happy to do more research and make a stand, as it were. Good friend Cambot. What's up, Cambot? Haven't heard from you lately, man. Hope you're doing good. Cambot asks, are there any problems with playing games on easy? I did Uncharted 3 like that, and now I'm starting Spec Ops tonight the same way. Hell no, man. Play it on easy. Play it on easy. I play a majority of my games on easy. And not because I don't want a challenge, but because whenever I play a game, I have such a limited time, I want to make sure to get the most out of my time. So on easy, I won't have to frustrate with trying to fight the same boss 10 times. I could just keep going and, you know, not basically stop on my own accord. Right? And plus, it depends on easy, man. Try to play Endless Space on easy. That game will kick your ass 6 ways from Sunday. But yeah, play on easy. Don't fall into the hype of, well, you're going to play on Legendary. The true way to play Halo is on Legendary with skulls on. Don't fall for that shit. That machismo dumb, I'm a bigger person than this other person because I beat a video game on a higher difficulty. Don't fall for that. Do it if you want to. Do it if you want a challenge. Do it if you want a unique experience. But don't fall for the fucking, I gotta play at least on hard because I'm a hardcore gamer. It's like, who cares? Let's see. Let's see. Marco Flores asked a few questions. Congrats on looking like the fourth member of the Shield. Thank you, sir. Let's see. Another cool question. What other martial arts would you have taken to consider yourself complete? Like a Yori Boyka complete? Wow. Because see, a lot of people don't know this because I don't talk about it a lot. I'm a fourth degree black belt in Tangsudo Mudokwon. I've taken martial arts for about 16 years. I'm 27 now. So majority of my life I've done martial arts. Fourth degree black belt, or third degree black belt rather, fourth dan is third degree. So third degree black belt in martial arts, and I haven't done it in a few years. I mean, just life has been kind of in the way. I've stretched and I've kept up with my forearms and things like that, but not so much really combat training. But what would I take? The two martial arts I would take, if you were to give me to sign up for two martial arts right now, number one is Aikido. Aikido is based on leverage and movement, and I think it's a beautiful martial art. And trust me, fighting a good Aikido master is impossible. You can't touch them. You can't. There's no way. Whatever you do, if you think you made impact, they're going to break your arm. Doesn't matter. Aikido is a sick martial art. It's so cool. And the other one, I hate to be the guy to say it, but it would be probably Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. I think it's very functional. I think, because Tong Soo Do, I love it as kind of a fundamental martial art, a very traditional, you know, here's respect, here's your discipline, you study this, you study these, you work on your technique. But in a fight, I don't know, Adam Carolla, you know, he's Adam Carolla Show and Loveline and all that stuff. He's a boxing trainer, and he's been a boxer for, God, decades. And the thing is, the one complaint he has with traditional martial arts, and I actually agree with him, is he always asks, you do traditional martial arts? And someone's like, yeah, I do Tong Soo Do, I do Taekwondo. And he's like, what, are you right-handed? Yeah, I'm right-handed. Well, that means your left hand's useless. And that's true. The traditional martial arts usually kind of guide you to rely on your strengths more than bring up your weaknesses. Right? But with something like Aikido, it's more of a mindset. Aikido is more of a mindset. You be fluid, you counter, you're anticipating motions, you're anticipating movements. In jiu-jitsu, you're just direct. You're going to put someone in a headlock and you're going to break their arm. Like, it's a functional deal because it works. If you get in a bar fight, trust me, I would much rather have the jiu-jitsu guy on my side than the Tong Soo Do guy. I mean, Tong Soo Do guy could kick some ass, sure, but that jiu-jitsu guy could put five people out of their misery. And that's no shit. I would love to learn jiu-jitsu. I think I'd be really good at it too. I just love to get in there and get to it. But let's see. And last one from Marco Flores is the Final Fantasy XI expansion, Seekers of Adolin, on your radar, even though you're beginning stages of your Final Fantasy adventure? Yeah, I think so. I think the new stuff looks pretty cool. They're adding in a lot of in-game content. That's a majority of what it is, but I think they're also going to kind of sprinkle some stuff into the mid-game. The way I'm playing Final Fantasy XI is kind of a long burn, right? It's more of a, you know, World of Warcraft I've played for 4 years, and that is a long burn, but I usually go through big marathons of World of Warcraft. I'll play for 3 months, an insanely big amount, and then I'll stop for 6 months. With Final Fantasy XI, I see it kind of being sprinkled in. I see it kind of being a refreshing change of pace from World of Warcraft, because sure, it is a little bit slower, but there's something kind of beautiful about that. And people that love MMOs kind of, you know, they're on one side or the other. They either want to get shit done, get it done now, I want to go raid, I want to get this done, I want to get my stuff, then I want to leave. Or you have, you know, it's in the journey, not the destination. You know, it's not to get to the level cap as easy as possible, it's to see a lot of stuff on the way. And I think that's what kind of game Final Fantasy XI is. I mean, I'm glad they're heightening up and ramping up the leveling up process. I can tell you I'm at level 20-something right now, and I got to level 20 in about a tenth of the time it took me to get to level 10 whenever I first started playing back in release. So they've done a lot to it. They've done a lot to make it more accessible. But yeah, I want to keep my eye on it. I want to see how happy the hardcore guys in Final Fantasy XI are with Seekers of Adolin whenever it comes out. But yeah, I won't be there for a while. So there's that. Let's see. I know there was a few other questions. Let's see. Someone's talking about Comixology, and yeah, I love Comixology. And they do that really vindictive thing where at the end of a comic, if you don't have the next follow-up one, they have a buy it now button. Ooh, that's dangerous stuff, man. Dangerous stuff. Let's see. And Behemoth, here we go. The three final questions for this week's Power Hour. Behemoth asks all three of them. Hey Wes, how is it possible for an MMO to launch as poorly as Wizardry Online did in the year 2013? I do not know, man. What a messed up launch. They did some false pretense stuff. They showed some stuff that's not even in the game in some of the screenshots. It's clearly pay to win. It got pulled from Steam. I mean, it's bad news all around. I mean, and not only that, but then even if everything else went right, the game's still pay to win, which is Ugh, I don't know. It's just upsetting. Ugh. Ugh, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Why would you be a pay-to-win game? Sure, you're going to get a few people that pay you money, but then they're going to see that it's just, they might as well go play Magic the Gathering. They might as well go play Yu-Gi-Oh! They might as well go play HeroClix. Something that, or Skylanders, something that literally is made to just take your money. Or go play Nickel Slots. Hell, it's the same thing. You know? But in Wizardry Online, functionally, from the people that have played it, they say it's not very good. That the game itself is not very good. Not even all the pay-to-win stuff. It's just not a good game. And that Legend of Grimrock is so much better. So I say, once again, go with Legend of Grimrock, man. But yeah, it's just impressive how bad that release was. I thought we were over the horrible release thing in 2013, but I guess not. Let's see, another one from Behemoth. How great is E3 going to be this year? I sincerely think that E3 is going to be a good show this year. But also I think that my level of, I don't know, my level of hate for a majority of message board kids and people commenting on just dumb fake news stories and talking about how this is doomed and that one E3 and this, I don't know, man. I've been doing this type of stuff a long time. A lot of us have. Behemoths from Platformers and Penny Arcade, and you know, we've been there damn near, hell, we have been there 10 years now. We've been doing this stuff a long time, man. I mean, it's starting to wear thin, at least for me. I mean, is Sony gonna announce its new PlayStation? Maybe. I think it might announce it beforehand and show it at E3. I think Nintendo's going to do well. They already said they're going to be showing their Wind Waker. They're going to be showing the new Mario game. They're going to be showing Mario Kart for the Wii U. So they're going to have a solid show. Microsoft, who knows at this point. I don't know. I don't know if last year just soured me on the big AAA. Wow, look at how big and beautiful Assassin's Creed 3 looks, and look at how amazing of a juggernaut Halo 4 is going to be. That type of stuff, I just get tired. I just look at it and I'm like, I'm sure the game's good, but what the fuck is with all this pomp and circumstance? Like, I don't need all of this hype. You know, I will get excited about the games I'll get excited about. You can just tell me that they're coming out and I'll get excited. You don't need to rent out a billboard and, you know, Times Square and have some dude dress up and bust into MTV studios or something. You know, it's just getting ridiculous. And I mean, if last year was anything to go by, the big, big titles are the ones that are usually the most disappointing. And once again, we're going to get the people that say, well, you know, this is the year I give up video games, and you know, or this is the year that Sony's going to make a comeback, or this is the year that Nintendo's finally going to go into bankruptcy, or this is the year that, and they're just spouting nonsense for nonsense sake, and it's tiring. And I know I don't need to read it, but the thing is, that's no matter where I get video game news now, that all those people are there. It's just a weird club, and it's not a good club. And I know it sounds really weird. I'm making a podcast on NitroBeer.com, a site I help create in order to talk at length about video games and gossip and all this other stuff, but it's just getting too far out of whack. I mean, that's, honestly, I know for me, that's why you're not seeing a whole lot of editorials for me since my Game of the Year stuff. And that's why you probably won't, not for a month or so. I'm just so burnt out. And a lot of it's the internet's fault. They just make a big deal out of nothing, and then the very big deals, everyone glosses over. You know? It's just a weird time for the industry, which is good. I'm glad there's indie developers to help keep everyone honest. But I don't know. And especially with the THQ bids, man. I mean, like, okay, perfect example. THQ, everyone talks about, well, Vigil didn't get picked up, which is upsetting, sure. Darksiders is a good series. But I think the big news is that Sega bought Relic Entertainment, the creator of Company of Heroes and Homeworld and all that good stuff. That's huge news, and that makes Sega a literal force to be reckoned with on the PC strategy game front. And of course, I'm biased because I love PC strategy games, but it's big news nonetheless. It got sold for $26 million, and they're worth every single penny of it. But I don't know, the whole, yeah, I don't know if it's burnout. I don't know what it is. E3's going to be good. E3's usually good. I don't know if there's going to be a winner of E3 this year. I don't know what's going to happen in regards to that. But I'm just going to stick with my PC. If I need to shell out $500 or $600, I'm just going to buy a new PC. I'm not going to worry about a home console. That's the way it is. I mean, I only have a PS3 because my Xbox, I went through 7 Xboxes in 6 months, and they literally just sent me a refund, and I went and got a PS3. Had it ever since. A launch 40 gig, and the fucker hasn't died yet. No, I probably jinxed it, but, you know, that's why I have a PS3. Not because I think Sony's a clear-cut contender to be the best company. No, it's not about that. It's because the other shit broke, and I got one that worked. 96% of the games are exactly the same. You know, I just love my PC. I love my PC too much. Hell, my PS3 is my Netflix and Hulu box right now. Anyway, last question, and a good one to end on. That one was kind of sour grapes. And speaking of grapes, Behemoth asks, beer or wine? And I'll tell you, a good beer, man, oh man, good beer. I will say that my favorite beer that you can just go buy at a store is either going to be, let's see. God, it's kind of a mix. Kind of depends on what mood I'm in. But I mean, definitely Guinness Stout. Guinness Stout. Hell, it's the Irish in me. I know it's stereotypical, but I love Guinness Stout. It's almost like syrup. It's so good. Sam Adams makes some okay beer. Especially kind of their Oktoberfest stuff. Their autumn beer collection stuff. Not bad. Not bad, but like Red Stripe. Classic, of course. Pabst Blue Ribbon. Yeah, definitely. But like if I was, let's say I was at some shitty college party or something, and I had a choice between like Coors Light, Heineken, Michelob, Bud, let me just throw Natty Light, the Beast, let me throw that out there just to do it. I mean, I'd probably go Heineken, you know, cannot stand Corona. I'm going to tell you right now, I live in Texas. I'm in the Midwest. I'm here where Mexican beer is really fucking good, and Corona is piss water. That is the nastiest shit. If I see people, I want a Mexican beer. I want to get a Corona. Get that the fuck out of here. No, sir. Nope. Ugh. Give me a Modelo any day of the week compared to Corona. But wine. Wine is real good. I just can't do a whole lot of it. Because wine will put my ass to sleep. It's the whitest thing I've ever said. I'm the most Caucasian person. Wine puts my ass to sleep before you know it. So I kind of stay away from it. You know? It just makes me so tired. I don't know what it is. I mean, it's not that I get super hammered and super drunk. No, no, no. I just get sleepy. But beer is good stuff. I haven't had a beer in a year and a half. I definitely haven't had a beer since, at least a year, since I started the bodybuilding thing. And not because, oh, it's bad for you and your liver, blah, blah, blah. No, 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 fuck that. I mean, beer would be a good way to get some empty calories in if I wanted to bulk up. But I don't know. I just don't have the drive or ambition to go buy beer and keep it in the house and drink beer. I would rather drink, you know, Gatorade or soda. And I know soda's bad. It's my vice. I'm sorry. I love caffeine. I'll be addicted to caffeine the rest of my life. But that's it, man. Those are the questions. Thank you so much. Big shout out to Dr. Care. Send in an amazing question. Everyone send in amazing questions. Big shout out to all of you. But hope you guys had fun. Like I said, Power Hour is on iTunes. Hope you guys download it on iTunes. Yeah, I'll give it a 5-star rating. You know, give it a 5-star. Even, I'll put it like this. Even if you think it's a 1-star podcast, I'm going to say that 1-star means that it's brilliant, that the podcast is brilliant, and then that 5 stars mean it's not so good. So if you're really hating the Power Hour lately, definitely go give it 5 stars. Let me know. I really need to fix some things. Let me know, you know, through and through. 5-star rating, I'll really think about it. I'll really sit down, kind of reassess where I'm going with the show. And if you love the show, you know, remember that 1 star is a horrible rating, and that 5 stars will really show that you're really supporting what the Power Hour is doing, and you're back behind it 100%. Thank you so much. But yeah, just check NitroBeard. Of course, download the JumpCast. We're going to get free-to-play back on there. I don't know what iTunes' problem is with free-to-play, but we're going to get that back up there. So you can get all of NitroBeard shows under 1 NitroBeard label, all on iTunes, delivered free of charge directly to your MP3 and or audio player of choice. That way you can listen on the bus, on the car, on the radio, whatever you want to do. But thank you so much for joining me for the Power Hour. Next week, once again, we're going to be bringing you the news as far as MMOs. We're going to be bringing you the wrestling wrap-up. And we're going to be bringing you some more questions, your questions, that I am so happy to answer. Thank you all so much. Hope you guys have a great week. And until next time, be sure